to Deacon Dialogues, bringing you a deacon's perspective on the world we live in and the Catholic faith we are called to. And now, here are your hosts, Deacon Rich Napoli and his wife, Janet.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, on the show Deacon Dialogues. Normally, my wife, Janet, would be here with us, but today she's busy preparing for the baptism of our grandson. So I'm here like one hand clapping here without my wife. But we do have a wonderful guest we'll introduce in a minute. But I just wanted to welcome you all to the show and thank you for joining us here at this time. This is the beginning of summer, and everyone is starting to drift away on vacation, which is a wonderful time of the year for everyone. But it makes it a challenge sometimes to get guests for our show. But we do have a wonderful guest here today to help us understand a bit more about the world meeting of families. Now, if you know and reading the papers lately, you know that the world meeting of families is coming. And it is a major, major event for this city and for the Catholic Church and for all Philadelphians. So we've been doing a series these past few months on the World Meeting of Families to tell people a little bit about what is going to happen during that World Meeting of Families, and also to help explain the importance of the teachings on family that the Catholic Church offers us, and to explain its relevance to the whole world. Because sometimes I think people mistakenly think that the World Meeting of Families is only relevant if you are a married couple with children. And certainly it is incredibly relevant for that, but it is relevant for all peoples in all stations of life, whether you are married, whether you're single, whether you are clergy, whether you are a religious sister or brother, or divorced. We're all affected by family. We are all part of a human family, and of course of the family of Christ Church. So we've done a series of programs already. We did one on the World Meeting of Families as it relates to married couples, of course. We did one as it relates to divorced men and women. We did one as it relates to clergy. And today's show, we're going to take a look at the World Meeting of Families and its teachings from the perspective of religious sisters and brothers. So as I mentioned earlier, we wanted to have a packed studio here of religious sisters and brothers. Unfortunately, with school being out and the summertime upon us, many of them wisely chose to go on vacation or go on retreats. So I do have with me today, though, a wonderful sister that I have come to know, Mother Incarnation. She is a mother of the Servants of the Lord and Virgin Matera. She is stationed in St. Veronica's Parish in North Philadelphia, where she does catechesis, prep work, and care for the families and people there. She is a local girl, a local Philly girl, grew up and born in Philadelphia, raised up in Horsham, went to St. Catherine's, and then Villa Joseph Marie, and then Westchester University until she got the call. So, Mother, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much, Deacon. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, and I don't know if you remember the cause of our first meeting, but it was maybe, less than a year ago.
Yeah, it was in March, wasn't it?
Was it that late? I can't, maybe January or so.
Yeah, I know, you're right.
January, because we went to the car show afterward. That's right. That's why I know.
It was cold outside, that's true.
It was very cold, and someone in our parish got the call that there were some sisters in need of some furniture.
Because it was coming from my high school. It was coming from...
was that the connection? Village Joseph Marie, which is near us here.
Mrs. Michelle.
Yeah.
Terry Michelle, very near and dear to my heart. I had written to like a bunch of people just asking, because, you know, for the meeting of families, our convent is going to be more like a hotel with all the sisters.
Of course.
So we need some more beds, or we needed, well, actually we still need some more beds, bunk beds and mattresses and things of that nature. Right. And lo and behold, we had a whole truck full.
We brought a whole truck
stuff, which was amazing.
Came from St. Andrew's Parish. Some of the parishioners there loaded up a truck
And we became fast friends.
Yes, we did.
We became fast friends.
And it's a wonderful order that you're part of, and a wonderful mission that you're on. And we'll talk about that a bit more in the show. I do want to remind everyone before we get started that, you know, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown and 1420 in Coatesville, serving the greater Philadelphia region. And the show is Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli. And as you just heard, we're here with Mother Incarnation from the Servidoras is the easier way to say your order's name there. But what I want to do first is just remind everybody, before we get into sort of the world meaning of families as it relates to religious brothers and sisters, I just want to remind everybody what this event is and what it means for us all here. So first off, the world meaning of families is an ongoing event, much like the World Youth Day, which most people seem to know about. You know, just like that, it's held every 3 years in a different city around the world. It was started in 1994 by Pope John Paul II, sponsored by the Vatican's Pontifical Council for the Family. So this is a well-oiled machine now. It's been around for 20-some-odd years, and it's gone to cities in Rome and Barcelona and Milan, and now it's coming to Philadelphia. It's coming to America for the first time, and we're honored that it's actually coming to Philadelphia. So it's a major event. Obviously, everybody knows how the event ends, and that's with the Papal Mass. And then that's just going to be an enormous event. They're expecting between 1.5 and 2 million people to be here for that beautiful Mass. And it'll be held on Ben Franklin Parkway. The Pope will be down by the museum on a giant dais, and there'll be giant TV projectors all up and down the parkway so you can see His Holiness more easily. So everybody sort of gets that, and we'll talk maybe a little later on the logistics of all that. It's an amazingly complex logistical challenge of getting 1.5 or 2 million people in and out of Philadelphia. Fortunately, this event is being run by some outstanding men and women who are professionals in this space of large crowd events, such as we have people who work on this team from the Olympics, from the Super Bowl, from the Democrat and Republican National Conventions. These are people that are used to putting on large, major events and have to worry about food and bathrooms and security and hotels and travel and all those things. It's really amazing to be seeing this executed at such a high professional level. But there's a lot more to the world meaning of families other than the papal visit. Work backwards, if you will. So that's going to be Sunday around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, is the latest I've heard, is when the papal mass will be. The night before that, there is something, another event with the Pope in attendance called the Festival of Families, which will also be held on the Ben Franklin Parkway in the same area, but it's much more family entertainment oriented, with lots of singing and dancing, and performances by musicians and singers.
Andrea Bocelli is coming.
Yes, Andrea Bocelli and many, many more. So it'll be a wonderful chance to come together as a family and celebrate the family. So that will be happening Saturday night. Again, it'll be a free event up on the Parkway, with the Pope sitting there in attendance and welcoming everyone. But there's another whole part of the Congress of the week that most people aren't so familiar about, and I want to spend a little time on that, and that's the World Meaning of Families Congress, and it's another fancy way of saying convention. And it's being held at the Philadelphia Convention Center from Tuesday to Friday, and it'll have about 15,000 attendees, so much smaller in scale, but a major convention for the city for sure. And this is a Congress that's dedicated to sort of unpacking or explaining the theology of the family that we understand as Catholics. So, yes, there'll be wonderful sessions on the theology of the family and what do we believe, but a lot of the sessions are organized towards taking that understanding of what we believe and living it. How do we put it into practice? So there's a lot of practical sessions there on dealing with all the challenges of a family life, right? Addictions and adultery and divorce and all those things that unfortunately are part of family life today. How do we approach those? How do we minister to people? And if we're affected by them personally, how do we deal with those kinds of struggles from a Catholic perspective? So they will be the many sessions. There'll be a keynote speaker twice a day, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, And then whatever that keynote speaker is talking on, like Father Robert Barron's going to be one of the keynotes. He's a wonderful, if you've seen him on TV, he's a wonderful speaker. And then subsequent to that, there'll be like 12 or 13 breakout sessions to sort of, you know, look at different aspects of what he said. So, you know, for those of you that are thinking that, you know, this is just a mass, I'm just going to go to the mass, we certainly encourage you to go to the mass. It's going to be an amazing once-in-a-lifetime event. I'm just going to take the whole week off and be there the whole week because Philadelphia has never seen anything on this scale. I know the Pope came here in 1979, but that was, you know, a small time. This Pope has had such a world impact already. There's going to be lots of people that are just curious to see who he is, what's he all about, and so it'll be quite an event. Philadelphia as a city will benefit. I think the numbers I've seen are about $500 million of economic benefit to Philadelphia because of all the people coming in and all the hotels that are being booked and the food that will be needed and all those wonderful things. But so please, yeah, think about coming to the Papal Mass, of course. Think also about coming to the Festival of Families the night before. And especially think about coming to the World Meeting of Families Congress, this convention, if you will, though they don't like me using that word. They say Congress. But it's a series of events that will help you understand the teachings better, help you live the teachings better, and help you explain the teachings to your family better. So I encourage you, for those of you interested in that, the actual signing up for that, there is a website you can go to. It's worldmeeting2015.org, and you can sign up and you can register. There is a fee to register. If you want to get a hotel, that's the only way you can get a hotel is to book through the website. So it's an incredible event, and I encourage you to certainly take a look at that and sign up if you can. There it is filling up fast. There are some spots left open, but you need to move quickly if you want to be a part of that. Okay, well, let me just set the stage here for our conversation with Mother Incarnation. You know, we, as I said, this is the last of a series of shows we're doing on the World Meeting of Families. And as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, really focusing on why is this World Meeting of Families so important for us as Catholics, and why are the teachings of the Church relevant to us regardless of our station in life? Again, I've heard people say, oh, I'm not going to that. That's just for families. That's just for married couples with young children. I don't need to know that stuff. So, and my observation has been, as I understand the teachings more, is that no, everyone is affected by family. Everyone is part of a family. Everyone loves in a family way in some situation in their station of life, regardless of whether they're married, single, divorced, clergy, religious. So what we've been doing is looking at each of those different things individually and trying to – and having guests on that represent that constituency. Okay, last time we had divorced men and women talking about how they're living their family call in the state of divorce and what are the challenges of that, what are some of the benefits, the blessings that they've managed to get through all that and how they've strengthened their family as best they can in that situation. And the help and help that they can get to the Church offers much help for people in that situation. So this time we're going to look at people that are called to the religious life. So people, men and women, religious sisters and brothers who have consecrated themselves to service of the Lord in their community, in their order. And you know, you might think, well, they're not married. What do they have to worry about family? You know, why is family important to them? And so we want to spend a little time, you know, getting to sort of deal with that a little bit and understand what that means. So I have with me, as I said, Mother Incarnation. And Mother, you know, help. Maybe you can, from your own situation, well, maybe we'll start before we get into some of the uniquenesses of being a sister or brother. Maybe just start with a little bit about your vocation, how you discern your vocation, you know, and why the Servidor of Sisters.
Well, to do it kind of briefly.
Yeah, you don't have to be brief.
The short version of the story. As you mentioned, I was in college. I was in Westchester. And I guess to say that the thought just hit me when I was there, it would be a lie. Because it's not like God takes his, like a big bat, like a baseball bat, and smacks you over the head one day and says, hey, guess what? So it was something that I was like thinking about for a while. I don't think I was very, I want to say it like this. I would have it in the back of my mind, but it wasn't something I would bring up in conversation. It's not something that I wanted really to admit. I think that's the right word. It's not something that I wanted to admit to myself, because I always had these plans. Okay, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to be the first girl in my family. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to graduate and go to doctor school and I don't know, do this. And so being in the convent just didn't fit into my quote unquote plan. And so I was in high school. I was, we would go to mass on, in high school, we would go to mass on Sunday nights with, of like the youth mass, of like the life team program. So I came to my parish.
Was it St. Catherine's?
And St. Catherine's.
Yep.
It came to my parish when I was, I think I was a sophomore. And so that really helped inspire me to like be excited for mass because I wanted to go to mass. And like, we always went to mass as a family. That was something that, you know, we always did. I mean, I went to Catholic school. It was very much a part of our life. And my parents were very, we're very involved in the parish and like various things and this and that and the other. And so we were always at church. I mean, we lived at church, which was great, And, we had the great grace to be very close with the priests and the sisters at my parish, growing up. So when I got to high school, it was more like I went to church because it was my choice. Like I wanted to go to church. Like I would make sure that my Sunday evenings were free. So I could go to church with my friends. And it's not like my parents tried to stop that because they were so happy, obviously, that I was going to church. And so and the big joke amongst my friends and I was, ha ha, why don't you go be a sister? Why don't you go be a nun? And I'd be like, ha ha, leave me alone. You're not funny, you know. But in a way, they were kind of like a prophet because again, I can say like the thought crossed my mind, but it wasn't anything major. It was just like a passing thought. Yeah, okay. Like push it away. So when I was in college and it was my sophomore year and that's when I first met my sisters. It's like the servants of the Lord. Because they have a we have a convent about half an hour south of Westchester in Avondale. So where was I? And actually it was, I can share that it was at a very like low part of my spiritual life. It was a very low point, spiritually speaking, because I had met, I mean, my whole life, I mean, I went to Catholic school. I was raised in church, which was great. But when I went to college, I had my first experience of meeting Christians. So non-Catholic Christians. Which for me was kind of eye-opening. And to be honest, I was not prepared for, I don't want to use the word attack because that's not the right word, but just, I guess more of the challenges. And I found myself in a place where I was not so sure anymore. Like, but I didn't know how to respond in a way that they would hear me, you know? So it was kind of a low point. Spiritually speaking,
that's pretty typical of many Catholics. You know,
especially when you go to college,
we have a beautiful faith, but we don't necessarily, you know, we teach the beauty of the faith to children, which they have, so they have the simplicity of heart to appreciate the faith, but not necessarily the intellectual rigor to be able to debate and defend it as adults.
And that's where I was right there, rock hard place me. There we go. So. So when I was a freshman, I used to go to, I started probably by the Holy Spirit to go to mass. I mean, I went to mass every Sunday, but then I would also go to mass every day, which was not something that like I was raised with, but, it just started to happen. And then we had things that would happen each night, like at the Newman Center. So there'd be, like a Bible study one night or like a special prayer meeting. I don't know. Yeah. Stuff like that.
Right.
So we were super, again, I was like there all the time. I lived at church. See, like, it's like a theme of my
Nothing
life.
Change in your life.
I know. Like, it's like it seems to be the same. So, and by the time I started my sophomore, or I guess maybe like towards the end of my freshman year, I stopped being involved in all that stuff because of these extra doubts and challenges and blah, blah, blah. So when I went back to school after break, after summer vacation, I guess it was in the fall at some point. Actually, I found out from the sisters later, it was October 1st. So the feast of St. Therese, that there was the priest at the time, Father Sam Veruni, who's now at St. Mark's in Bristol.
Okay.
So if anyone knows him, he's a very...
I'm sure some of our listeners do.
He's a holy man.
Yeah.
And we're still in touch. Good. So he was involved in this praise and... It was like a praise and worship band made up mainly of priests. There being a couple priests and a couple lay men and women. And they were like a Catholic praise and worship band.
Nice.
And I think, unfortunately now, I don't think the band still is in action anymore. But at least at the time, now I realize why, because they needed to be there to touch me. So we were having, it was one night, they were going to come and they were going to give like a concert. And lo and behold, there were 5 nuns who were wearing blue and gray. And they showed up at this concert.
Which is, but for our listeners who can't see Monica Nation, she's wearing a blue and gray habit as well.
And so they showed up. And ironically, out of the 5 of them who were there, maybe one really, really spoke English. Mm-hmm. The others were more, could say hello or have a basic conversation in English. And 2 were very cute and just smiled and waved at us. But so that's when I first met them, and as you can probably tell, I'm not shy.
Right.
Which is...
It's one of the reasons I have you on the air.
Which is a blessing at times, and also like a downfall of mine at times. But I'm not shy, and so my friends and I were very quick to go up to them and like introduce ourselves. Hi, sister, who are you? Blah, blah, blah. And I remember then, that night with hindsight now, I mean, now I can look back and see this, but that my first thought was, wow, that's what I want to do.
Wow.
And of course, I gave myself like a mental
slap.
Slap in the face. Like, what's the matter with you? No. Psh, stop it. No. Psh, cut. Okay. So, but that was really it. Like, that was the first time. And so, since then, I would spend time at the convent. I would go and pray with them or go and like spend the weekend because, they were very smart, very, very smart. And they knew how to
market to you.
Market me. Yeah. So they would say things like, well, why don't you come for the weekend? Because our house is very quiet and you can study.
Mm.
You can bring your clothes and you can do your laundry for free. You can have a home cooked meal. And of course I was hooked. So I would go and spend like the weekends over there. And when they would go on Saturday mornings, I guess. And they would go around and like, and they would bring me with them, and they would, they would go to the houses of the families, and they would, and I would go with them. But unfortunately, I didn't really speak a whole lot of Spanish.
Right.
I didn't really speak anything, actually. But what was nice is that all of the kids, they spoke English. So they would talk with the parents, and I would play with the kids. Or draw, or like I talk to them or do whatever.
Sure.
So it was really my first
exposure to
them. And then, of course, the more you pray and the more you speak with a priest and the more you do spiritual direction and retreats, the more it was very clear to me that that's what God wanted. So I think my life can be expressed as you can run, but you can't hide. It's hard to believe, but I'm very stubborn. I'm a stubborn person. I know. Very hard to believe. You can ask my mom. Ask my mom, ask my dad. They'll be the first ones to tell you that I am stubborn. You can ask my 2 sisters in my house who live with me. I can be very stubborn. So, but when the Lord wants something, as I'm sure you well know.
Yes, I do.
He gets what he wants. And so so it was from there, really. And we...
And what? How long is your formation there?
So between the time you enter, from the time you profess your final vows, it's about 7 years.
7 years.
More or less. So I professed my final vows in 2008.
2008.
The National Shrine down in Washington, my favorite church.
Mine too.
See how spoiled I am?
Well, my children went to Catholic University down there.
Oh, it was beautiful.
So we spent a lot of time in that cathedral. It's just a magnificent church there. Just every time I go in there, it takes my breath away.
Oh.
You know, I want to just remind our listeners, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, and I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli. The show is Deacon Dialogues, and I'm here with my good friend, Mother Incarnation, from the Servidoro Sisters, who is, and we're here talking about the world meaning of families and the teachings of family and why family, the call to family and family vocation is such an important part of our lives and part of our church mission, regardless of whether we are actually a married couple or, in this case, religious brothers and sisters. So, sister, I wanted to, I wanted to turn back to you and ask about sort of your own family's involvement in your formation. You hinted at it a little bit,
right?
You know, that they were active in their faith and certainly took you to Mass. And how else did they help shape you? Did they steer you towards this, or were they supportive, or were they against it? How did it go?
No, they were very, very supportive of my, I don't want to call it a choice, because it's not my choice, really, but I think you get the idea.
Well, it always is a choice. There is a yes.
I mean, it is a choice. I mean, I said yes, but it wasn't really like I went out of the way to make this choice, because, you know, what God wants, he gets. So, he gets it. So I remember it was my junior year, and it was in the spring, and we were doing a retreat at the Newman Center.
Yeah.
It was like the busy person's retreat. So basically what it entailed was that we would go and spend time speaking with a priest that about our lives, about whatever, really.
Right.
And we had to go to Mass every day, which many of us were there like anyway. And we would have meals together and just try and spend as much time there as you could. Obviously, you went to classes and
yeah,
you couldn't. Going to skip class or
right.
or be bad, but and I remember being there one day, one of the days, I guess, and it was just so very clear to me. I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. And I guess I spoke out loud, because my friends who were there were like,
do what?
I was like, oh, sorry, I guess. So I was speaking out loud again. I hate when I do that. So, and I said, you know, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to join. I'm going to join the convent because I'm tired of walking on the fence. Mm-hmm. As with any choice in your life, any big choice that you have to make, you know, you walk on the fence for a while.
Yep.
And you're afraid to fall on either side. And to be honest, I'm the kind of person, when I make up my mind, I have to do it.
Yep. Yep.
So it kind of goes with that stubborn thing.
And there is that moment when you do have to definitively decide. You know, I mean, for me, I was the final moment for me was at a Holy Spirit Radio fundraising dinner. My wife invited me to, and I was still kind of just watching her grow in her faith from the outside, looking in. And when I was there, and I saw all these other faith-filled people, holy, you know, peaceful, the inner peace that they all had and the joy that they had. I'm like, I want that. And I said to myself, my first time I prayed to the Lord, I was like, Lord, I'm tired of being on the outside. I want to come in. And, you know, right after that, things started happening. Mm-hmm. And you know, the journey went very quickly since then. But I know there is that moment where you're kind of sitting and, I don't know what it's all about. And then suddenly something happens and you're like, all right, I'm in.
Okay, that's it. John, done.
Done.
Okay, now. So, but now I have to tell my parents.
Right.
So the retreat was happening. I mean, ironically, but providentially, the week before spring break, which, as you know, for any college kid is one of the most crazy weeks of the whole year. But then again, of course, the best time of the whole year. And I had this whole plan because, again, I like to plan things. I guess I like to think about things. I'm choleric, but I'm also melancholic, so I like to think about things.
Yep.
And so I had the whole plan. I was like, okay, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to have my parents. I'm going to sit them on the couch. So if they have a heart attack and pass out, they're already on the couch. And this was my logic. I was afraid. I was like, well, what if they pass out? What if – I mean, I figured that they would be surprised – but not shocked. Mm. It's not like it's coming out of the clear blue.
Right.
This
right.
idea that I pull from the sky.
Right.
It's right. not so, like, it's so weird.
Right, right.
And so, and of course, the Holy Spirit and our Lord have had other plans. Mm. So my plan was that they were both going to be on the couch. I could just blurt it out. I killed two birds with one stone. Thank you so much. Now you know my secret, right?
Right, right.
So what really happened was that one day that week, so after the big yes in my mind, okay, yes, yeah.
I'm going to do it.
I'm going to throw in the towel and I'm just going to say yes. My mom calls me. And usually she would always call me on the weekends. And most times she would call me at the convent because that's where she knew that I was. Because all the phone calls, they were free.
Yeah, right.
So... she called me in the week, which was kind of strange because she knew that I had classes and had to study and work and all this stuff. And so, I forget what she had to tell me, but she told me something and then asked me, like how my week was going and,
yeah.
and like, how was the retreat going and blah, blah, blah. And so I had brought up that the weekend prior, you know, that I was at the convent, like I was, so I brought my laundry. I brought my books. It was really nice. It was nice and peaceful. And so she asked me, well, what are they trying to do? Make you join? Are they trying to pull you in? Actually, that mm-hmm. those were her words. Mm-hmm. Are they trying to pull you in?
And what did you say then?
Well, it's like, well, not really, Mom. And I tried to change. I tried to change the topic of conversation. And I lost. I lost because I love my mother. I love my mother. I would throw myself in front of the SEPTA bus for her, but I lost that battle. So, well, what do you mean? Not really. If you can see me, my eyes are, at the time, my eyes were rolling.
Yep, yep.
What do you mean what I mean? I'm just not really. Can we talk about something else, please? Okay, not really, Mom. And so I was like, well, okay. I was going to wait to tell you this until you got home, but since you can't be patient, I'm going to tell you now. Mom, I know what I want to do after I graduate from college. Oh yeah? What? Mom, I'm going to join the convent.
Yeah.
And there was a pause.
Long
just like
pause.
You're hearing now. But I didn't hear a thud.
Right.
Which was a good sign. I didn't hear like a crash. So I knew that she didn't, you know, pass out or have a heart attack. And so after a little bit of a pause, she said to me, well, have you thought about this? And it took every ounce of my self-control not to be like, no, it's just some weirdo idea I had. You know, I was dreaming last night and I took every ounce. I was like, no, Mom, you know, I've really thought about this.
For years.
I prayed about this. And so she's like, okay, well, okay, honey, that's good. Why don't I let you tell your father?
Oh, great.
Great. Okay, why don't we just... tell the whole neighborhood while we're telling everyone. Why don't you just, like, announce it on the radio? This is great. Okay. So, so my father gets on the phone. And he's a pretty big guy. He's 6'3".
Yeah.
250-something pounds. So
yeah, good size, yeah.
So he's a big boy. And so he gets on. Hi, hon. Hey, Dad. So, Mom says you have to tell me something. I was like, yeah, Dad, I do got to tell you something. And you have to understand him. He jokes around all the time. He's,
yeah.
I was like, anyone who knows him knows he teases, he jokes. And so, to be honest, the first thing he said to me, ha, 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 are you pregnant? Ha, ha. And I was like, ha, ha, no, Dad, ha. And like, we just laughed, which was good because it's like, it made me less,
right.
Or I should say, it calmed me down. And so we were laughing. And I'm like, no, Dad. Huh? He's like, oh, that was a good one. I was like, yeah, Dad, that was a good one. So he's like, so Do you need money?
You getting married?
Like, well, no. Well, I mean, I always need money, so you can feel free, like, to send me money. But I was like, no, Dad, no. Like, I'm good with money. Well, how are your grades? My grades are okay, Dad. I was like, I'm doing all right. What's the matter with your car? No. There's nothing wrong with the car because I had like a junker.
He's going through the dad checklist.
Yeah, like dad checklist. So I was like, no, Dad, the car's fine. Thanks be to God. No, Dad, yeah. The car's fine. And in my mind, I'm like, just let me tell you what I want. So I was like, no, Dad, you know, I know what I want to do after college. Oh, okay, honey. What? After college, I'm going to join the convent. And again, there was a pause. And it was a longer pause than my mom's pause. But at the end, he said, wow. I'm really proud of you. Mm-hmm. And then it was my turn like to have a heart attack because I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, my heart's already like this, you know, right. Bing, 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 because right. I have to break this huge news over the phone. But then he shocked me because he said, you know, I always knew that she would do something like this. And in my mind, I was like, oh, really? And I said to him, really? Well, thanks for the news flash. Like, why didn't you tell me this? And he said, apparently the story goes that when I was little, I was maybe 9, 10, one of his friends asked him what he thought that I would do.
Right, with your life, yeah.
With my life. And he said to me, well, you know, knowing her, she'll probably go out, she'll be a nun or something and help all the poor people, and that'd be great. And I was like, oh,
see?
Great, okay, Dad. So by the time I got home, I guess it was a couple of days had passed, and then I was home for spring break. And by that point, I mean, I couldn't tell anyone because everybody knew. And I was like, hey, thanks. This is great. So, but me like a fool, and people would come to me, oh, congratulations. We're so proud of you. And I was like, for what? And it didn't really click.
Yep.
Until after the fact, like, oh, your dad told me or your mom told me. I was like, oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you. I mean, because it's not something... Because how they were saying, you know, congratulations, it's not like, again, it's not like you make the choice. I mean, you do, but you don't.
Yeah, so it's not certainly, like, you're certainly called.
I mean, you're called, but
you have to answer
say
the
yes.
call. You have to say yes.
And for a while, I was saying no.
And some people choose not to answer the call. It's not a sin not to answer the call.
I mean, right.
You're not obligated. So it is a free choice, and I'm sure, you know, your family and your friends were proud of you, because it is a big choice. Even though you felt called to it, it still is a big choice to say, yes, I want to serve the Lord in a way different than my parents have served the Lord.
Right.
Because they came together as a family. We're talking, get back to family here. You know what? Let me just do a station identification, remind everyone first. You're listening to Holy Spirit Radio. This is WISP 1570 AM in Doylestown and 1420 AM in Coatesville. And I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli. The show is Deacon Dialogues, and I have on my as my guest today Mother Incarnation from St. Veronica's Parish, which is my mother's name, by the way, North Philadelphia. She's part of the Servants of the Lord and Virgin Matera Sisters, also known as the Servidoras. And we're here talking about the world meaning of families and how the call of family life and the importance of family life is relevant to everyone in the world, all stations of life, married, single, clergy, and in this case, we're talking about the religious. So we've been talking with Mother Incarnation about how her family helped shape her. And of course, very not surprisingly, your family sort of had ideas that this could be a possible avenue for you and supported you for that. I do want to turn to the next sort of thing in terms of, you know, people look mistakenly, I think, at both clergy and religious sisters and brothers as you know, living a life of only sacrifice. And of course, there is sacrifice involved in being a sister or brother, but there is also a call to be part of a family, even in that vocation, right? So, yes, you are you're celibate. Yes, you are chaste. So, you know, you're not called to be a biological parent to radiate God's love, but you're still called to take part in the family of families as the church. We're all called to bear, all of our love bears fruit, whether it's, you know, the fruit of in procreated children or fruit in the community and those that we serve. So, you know, I think I wanted you to talk a little bit about, you know, how you live a family life as part of a group of sisters and then how you live, you know, how you help families in your community live their vocation as families and some of the challenges. I know we spoke a little bit when we first met about some of the challenges. Your community that you serve in is a fairly tough community. They have a lot of challenges to family life. So tell me a little bit about what religious life is like for a sister. What are some of the joys and blessings, and what are some of the challenges?
Well, it's a very...
in 10 words or less.
In 10 words or less, okay. Well, we are a part of the religious, the family of the Incarnate Words with our priests and with the sisters and with the lay members of our family. We make up a family, and that's really what it is. I mean, everyone thinks your traditional family is mom, dad, kid, and a dog.
Yep.
In our case, it was a cat. But it doesn't always necessarily have to be that way, because I guess a family is really a group of people who love each other and who want what's best for the other person. So in our house, in my convent, we're only three.
Yeah.
So we're three sisters. In my old convent in San Jose, we were eight. In our houses in Washington, there's 25 sisters. Like in the seminary, there's a 25 or 30 brothers.
Right.
So we make up, that like the family, quote unquote, because we're all there. I mean, yeah, we live in the house.
It's funny the terminology too. We have mother like yourself,
yeah.
Fathers and priests. We have brothers and sisters.
And sister.
That whole analogy is family, even
which
though
is family.
Yeah, right.
So everyone thinks. I mean, I've heard it said, or I've heard, I should say, I've heard a lot of times. Heard a lot of times now since I've been back here, oh, you're the superior, it's an honor, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, not really. I mean, not really, because it's a service that we give.
Right.
So just because you call me Mother Incarnation doesn't mean I'm higher than all the other sisters. No, it's that the Lord has called me to be a spiritual mom to those under my care, whether it's the two of the sisters, or it's the 180 kids that come for classes every week, or it's the next door neighbors.
Right, right.
But also too, every religious or every priest or we're all called to be a mom.
That's right.
So if you're a sister, you're called to be a spiritual mom.
That's right.
And then there's the question, well, don't you ever wish that you had your own children? And my answer is the Lord, I'm not lacking because I don't have my own children.
Right. Right.
In San Jose, in my old parish, we lived in a shrine, and we had 900 kids who came every week for religious ed.
Right.
You think I don't have children?
Right.
Now we have 180. It's a lot smaller, but we have 180.
But more than you would have had as a family.
More than I would have had
own.
That's true. You can't give birth to 180 kids, but you can certainly give spiritual birth, if you will.
Right.
And helping that soul be holy and reach the gates of heaven.
Right. As all parents are called.
As all parents are called to do anyway.
Your main role in life as a parent is to get your children as best you can, get your children into heaven. And so you're right. You as sort of the adopted mother, if you will, of all these children, you have taken on that responsibility. So it's the same model of family. I think that's the point I want to get to everyone, is that even though you're not in a biological family of where yourself and your husband are married with children, you are still very much a part of a family with the same sort of
dynamic,
same kind of love, same kind of tensions that any family has. And therefore, what we teach on family is still just as important to you as it is to everyone else.
Right. So those times, most times, obviously, are very good.
Sure.
They're very joyful.
Right.
We have a lot of fruit, but then there's other times, like any family, there's things that drive you crazy.
Right, sure.
And it's not huge things. It's not life-changing, altering things. But just like any family, there's little things that drive you crazy, but you offer it up for the good of the other person. Like, your life going to be horrible because one of the sisters does this that drives me crazy? And the fact of the matter is, no. It's God's way of saying, hey, you know what? You're going to carry this cross right now for me.
Right, right.
And it's the same in any family. I mean, I grew up with a little brother, and there were things that he would do that would drive me absolutely crazy. And I'm sure there was stuff I did that drove him crazy, but it's not like I stopped speaking to him. It's not like I treated him, well, I mean, every brother and sister fight. But, you know, we, like, you work around it. There was stuff that my mom did that drove me crazy. There was stuff that my dad did that drove me crazy. But I'm sure it's, if they were on the show today, they would tell you there's lots of stuff that both John, my brother, and I did that drove them crazy.
Sure.
But does that mean I don't love my parents?
Right.
No. Does it mean I don't love my brother? No. Does it mean I don't love all the sisters? No. It just means that you have to change, like, you got to change the way you see things. Instead of seeing it, okay, this little thing drives me crazy. Okay. And you're about like to climb the walls, or you're going to look at it as, hey, you know what? This is a way that I can share and the cross of Jesus and offer something up.
Unite your suffering
and
Jesus.
Use that good, use the offering and the graces that come from that to help somebody else.
Right. Right. And just to, you know, sometimes when you are, you know, need to deal with those kind of situations and compromise, you know, you learn something. You become a better person because you've had to understand that other person, why they behave that way, to see that it's okay. It's just different than you would do it, but it's acceptable. And so you grow as a person, I think, and you become more tolerant of the world that's out there because we are so, you know, challenged in this world. You know, everyone wants the world the way they see it, and the reality is, you know, not everyone sees the world the way that we do. And so, you know, learning to adapt inside of the family unit to saying, okay, there's different people in this family that do things different ways, that kind of skill serves you well as you go out in the world, no matter what you do, whether you're in the business world like I am or in the community like you are, you know, that ability to compromise and tolerate and cooperate is a skill that serves us. We learn it as a family first. And then we take it into the larger context of our worldly lives.
Absolutely.
So I think that notion of family is too narrow sometimes we think about it. In your case, as you said, you have 180 children, you have many sisters, and you know, they are all a part of your beautiful family. So let's talk a little bit. I know you know, you work in the community. And tell us a little bit about, as I mentioned before, some of the challenges you face in the community or the challenges your community faces that you're able to try to help them through.
Well, our neighborhood is in a pretty rough part of the city.
Yep.
There's a lot of drugs. There's a lot of violence, sadly. And so as a result, there's a lot of what's the right word I'm looking for? There's a lot of brokenness.
Mm-hmm. Brokenness is a good word.
In the families. There's a lot of kids who don't have dad. There's a lot of kids who, they live with mom or grandmom, and there's a cousin or two around, and or they come and say, oh, my uncle just got out of jail. Oh, great. Or, you know, my dad's in jail right now. Or like, I don't know my dad. Or,
yeah, yeah.
Or my mom's on drugs. Or yeah. And it's hard because the kids, they're so little. They're so young, but yet they're thrown into this world where they have to act like an adult, you know?
Yeah.
So really, we're trying really hard to build up the family best we can, like trying to get them. We're trying to get them
to do that?
To come for classes, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lot of the parents, they might not, they might need something like food, clothing, help, financial help. We have like some friends and know some people and who can help in that area. But also we're trying to build them up in the life of grace. Maybe there's some who say, you know, I'm going to bring my son to receive his fill in the blank with the sacrament. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't have my fill in the blank with the sacrament.
Yeah. Yeah.
So great. I know last year we had about 20 adults that came into the church.
Oh, wow.
Which was really beautiful. Not so much just with one sacrament, but with various sacraments.
Isn't that beautiful?
Which was beautiful. And two, when the children see their parents in classes and their parents are at Mass with them, it just changes everything.
Sure.
Absolutely. So I guess like we're trying to feed them, you know, spiritually. We're trying to feed them materially.
Sure.
Like, if you will. And that's really the big challenge. One thing that we started to do this year, which has borne a lot of fruit, is that every week we call the families and see, can we come over? Can we come to your house?
Mm.
Like, we just We just go. We just visit there. And it's not like we do anything great or wonderful. If they want to pray, we pray. But if they say, you know what, why don't you come and I'll cook for you? Great. Why don't you come and we'll have like a cup of tea? Okay, great. There's no expectations.
No agenda.
And because when you see the home life with your own eyes, it helps you to really understand that child and where that child is coming from, because you can't yell at the kid when you see the parent.
Right.
And the parent really, if the parent is good, quote unquote, it shows in the kid.
Yeah.
But if the kid struggles a lot, then chances are 99.9% of the time, there's some sort of struggle at the house.
Sure.
And that's what we wanted to find out. Be like, hey, how can we help you? I'm not here like to point my finger and say, well, you know, little Johnny's not, he's bad in school. He doesn't do his homework. He never brings his book. Well, why is he bad in school?
Yeah.
Why does he not come with his homework done?
Right.
Why? Like, why? Not so much. I guess why is really like our question. Why and how? Because how can we help you? How can we help you?
Right.
What can we do to make your life a little better?
Yeah.
How can we help your kid? Help. We want to help you.
Yeah. Help us to help you.
Yeah, exactly. Help us to help you. If we help you, you can help your kid.
Right. Right.
And that's really, and it's really borne a lot of fruit.
That's beautiful.
It's really beautiful. And
do you find yourself drawing, you know, on your family experience to help give them, you know, because at least because you came from a good family, you know, you have a model that
we tell stories.
You do.
When I was little, you know, my dad or my mom, blah, blah, and like we're laughing and it's just, but it's just like we're laughing about it. But I mean, still, it still sets like the good example.
Right. That's what I mean. Of course, you're using humorous situations, but they get to hear about, you know, maybe an alternative family situation than they're used to, that there are other models for how to interact as a family, and gives them something to learn from, maybe from your good experiences. So there's yet another example of how, you know, even in your role as who some might say, well, you're not a family, you know, but even we know that's not true. But even in that in most restrictive sense, you're bringing your family experience to bear in the community and to help them see the beauty of family, maybe from a different perspective, because they have one view of family and there's beauty in all families. But as you said, man, there's so much brokenness there that sometimes it's hard to see that beauty.
Right.
And so you can help them, you know, recognize that there is a family life that is beautiful, and maybe even help them find the beauty in their own family life. Because listen, every man and woman that has children, no matter what their situation, their station, there's a certain tug that they feel. A nurturing tug to take care of their young. And it doesn't always get manifested properly, and sometimes they suppress that. But deep down, there is this, you know, almost a biological urge to care.
Absolutely.
And yet they don't necessarily know how to do that in a proper way. And so you're bringing your family experience and your understanding of family, as the church teaches us, you know, bringing that to bear and to help others. And that's one of the things, again, back to the World Meeting of Families, that's one of the things that you get out of this Congress, this World Meeting of Family Congress, is in how do we deal with all this brokenness? You know, you're in right in the middle. You're on the front lines, Mother, and you're dealing with this every day. Some of us are thrown into it more recently or more abruptly, some of us have been struggling for years with certain family situations, but not really understanding, you know, where to turn, how to look at their family situation from a Catholic perspective and bring the love of Christ into that situation. And so the World Meeting of Family Congress has lots of sessions. I don't have it in front of me here, but lots of sessions, as I said, mentioning about how do you deal with adultery and addictions and divorce and all those challenges that tend to pull a family apart. Pornography is another big one we see. It's a terrible scourge on families, you know. All those forces are trying to tear a family apart, and yet Christ is calling us to something, you know, much more beautiful than that. And lived. I mean, the Holy Family is a beautiful example of family life for us that we can all draw on as something to try to aspire to. But you know, sometimes people can look at that and, well, that's them. That's way up here. I'm way down here. There's nothing that can help me. And I think the church is with this World Meeting of Families is really trying to educate people that there is there isn't that distance. You know, there is the love of Christ that's calling us all to a family life that can be better from where, no matter where you start, no matter what level of brokenness you're at, you can still draw closer to God with by following Christ. So it sounds like you're really doing that and living that. We're almost out of time, sister. So I do want to, hey, first of all, thank you for being on the show with us, Mother.
Our pleasure.
I keep calling you sister, but Mother Incarnation.
That's okay.
You know, let me just ask, you know, for those parents out there that might have listened to your story and thought about their own child that might have a calling, where can they go to find out more about your order and, you know, to see if that's something that's – or the young women that are in this situation, where can they go to find out more?
Oh, the webpage, you mean?
Yeah,
oh, sorry.
That's a good place to start nowadays.
Yeah. When in doubt, just go online, right? So for us, for the Servants of the Lord, you can go to ssvmusa.org. ssvmusa.org. And for the priests, iveamerica.org.
Okay.
And then from there, there's other links, and you can... They're all high tech,
right? Or if they just type in, I know I just
yeah. If you type in Servants of the Lord or Institute of the Incarnate Word,
or even the Servidoras, I found
Servidoras.
Servidoras.
I think that's a Spanish name.
Yeah, it's a Spanish name for servants, right? But it's a very easy link into your website. So, you know, I would encourage those listeners to check that out. Also, for those of you who want to sign up for the World Meeting of Families, it's worldmeeting2015.org is the site, and you can also check in with your parish. There are some parishes that are sending buses down and other ways to get there. And, of course, check your the website has all kinds of information about the logistics, how to get there, the buses and trains, the roads. They have all kinds of special things they're going to set up for that weekend. And we are out of time, but let me just end with a prayer that maybe Mother, you and I can read together. This is the World Meeting of Family prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God and Father of us all, in Jesus, your Son and our Savior, you have made us your sons and daughters in the family of the Church. May your grace and love help our families in every part of the world be united to one another in fidelity to the gospel. May the example of the Holy Family, with the aid of your Holy Spirit, guide all families, especially those most troubled, to be homes of communion and prayer, and to always seek your truth and live in your love. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit again. Thank you again, Mother Incarnation.
Thank you,
for joining us. It was wonderful being on the show, and God bless you all. Enjoy the summer, and I hope to see you all at the World Meeting of Families event September 22nd to the 27th. This year in Philadelphia. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Deacon Dialogues. We hope you will join us each month at this time, the fourth Friday at 4 p.m., or for the encore the following Sunday at 2 p.m.